Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or a sausage biscuit, to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The show is about to begin.
Hang in
Dude,
there, it is.
That Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you're in a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked 5 of the last 8 winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not ask, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
Smiley, we are so back. And by back, I mean we are back in T-Mobile Club Magenta, maybe in the same chair as we sat in at Valhalla 2 years ago at the PGA Championship, maybe on the same putt view green. I hope it's not, because I had an abysmal performance in Club Magenta a couple years ago putting. Although, big breaking news. We're going to start the show with some huge breaking news. Been using this bad boy here. I'm doing the Justin Rose shirt tuck saw. I think we found something. I was putting with Michael Zinni over there, our guy who gets us dialed in here at T-Mobile, and I think I found something.
I don't think it would have helped you on those greens today. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. We got all the putt view lines in here where, yeah, I'm sure it felt great on the mat, but, buddy, what a first round at Aronimig, because I felt like I need to issue an apology.
Yes.
Because I think Monday – I guess we did this record. It was Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
And I had done a lot of research on Aronimig from the BMW Championship and also just from our interview with Keegan Bradley and listening to what players were saying earlier in the week. And as the week had gone on, when I'd gotten out here to the golf course and walked it and seen the weather forecast and see just about like how difficult this place could play, I then started to think, boy, I kind of need to – do we need to have an emergency Wednesday evening pod? But then I was like, you know what? I can't do that to Jackson. Like, it's the last thing we have to do there. And I started to then think that – you know, I was thinking potentially 16 under was the number this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, oh, boy, if we got there, something crazy happened, because wind is still expected in the forecast throughout the week, and there's no rain. And we saw what Thursday showed, so – apologies to all of you that took the I guess it'd be the under on low scores this week.
The preemptive demise of Aronimig was greatly exaggerated.
Oh.
Because we saw out there today. I mean, we have and also I think it's key. We got this Elias Sports Bureau notes. Randy Robles and his crew do such a great job. But not only was the scoring low. I mean, I know there's a lot of players under par, but not a ton under par.
No.
And you got to imagine the way these tournaments flow, right? It's not like you're going to see someone double it up and go to 6 under. You'd expect, you know, the leaders to still be around maybe a 3 or 4 under, maybe a 2 under number, depending on how it plays tomorrow with wind. But we have multiple records broken today in terms of most players within X shots of a lead at the end of a major championship round. All this thanks to Elias Sports Bureau. 33 players are within 2 shots of the lead. The previous record was 28 at the 1993 Open Championship.
Dude.
48 players are within 3 shots of the lead. Previous record, 47. And 66 players are within 4 shots of the lead. That's just 2 shy of the record of 68. So starting with the course, and by the way,
yeah.
Look, I got a little rundown written here. You like these, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
We got a little rundown
written. You look like a pro.
Shout out to our guy Michael Carter at Go-To Caddy for getting us dialed in with the yardage books. Because we got the Ronimink yardage book here. We got some notes here today, and I think how you started with how it played different than expected, right? Like we talked a lot about bomb and gouge being the play here, at least from player feedback in those press conferences to start the week. I want to talk a little bit about hole 8, the play the hardest today, just a brutal downhill par 3, but back into the wind, and just the backup we saw, the guys trying to get the right club there. You were out on live from tonight, hitting some shots out of the right and left rough on the 7th hole. But, you know, following up on those thoughts you started the show with, specifically, how do you think the course played different than everyone came into this week expecting it to play?
Well, I think it's just really the hole locations combined with just the runoffs around the greens, up and downs around the green were very difficult. You know, when you think about how do you shoot a low score? Well, you got to be able to hole some putts. We talked about the tricky hole locations, and they even Sahith Theegawa talked about this, is that they would put these, you know, these hole locations right on the high point of the green to where, first off, you know, it's downhill past, but then also if you got it too high, it stops breaking, and if it's on the other side, right, it'll go the other way. So just on these knobs, and so players were struggling to make putts, and then two, they were making soft bogeys from around the green because the up and downs were so challenging. Finding fairways, I guarantee you a lot of players found a lot of fairways, but then when you talk about just the contours of the entire property, you know, it's just beautiful how you can have a tee shot like the 7th hole that I was out there previewing at the end of the day, just how challenging it is to hold that fairway. The 15th hole, John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler spoke about how difficult it was, and there's room. Like, there's 40 yards of room most every fairway, but some of them have slope, and you really have to shape it with the wind to try to hold it. And if you end up on the wrong side of the fairway, you can be left with a really poor angle. And again, it just, you kind of turn into where you're just kind of fighting for par. It's hard to make birdies.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I'm thinking about two in particular, the hole location on 10 and the hole location on 11. You know, 10 we saw opening starting the coverage there, where I was watching the Bryson DeChambeau, Ludvig Oberg, Ricky Fowler group, and Ludvig's above the hole, maybe like 30 feet down the hill for birdie, ends up three putting because he leaves his first putt above the hole. So to your point, just those sort of knobs, I mean, you can look at just the slope going away there on that hole location.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Like, the golf course is really, really good. And, you know, I think just my biggest takeaways, you know, you just mentioned how many players have a chance to really, you know, potentially win a major championship. There's so many guys. Scottie Scheffler had a heck of a day.
Let's start with Scottie, because you nailed it earlier on our rain show. You nailed the 6-7, the Scottie Scheffler prediction, 6-7, where this was the key for him this week, right? It was, you know, the whole story of the year. He's been in contention multiple times. He's finished in top five multiple times, but Thursday's been a slow start. Now he's tied with six other players at 3-under heading into Friday. So, I mean, this has to set up very nicely for Scottie
Scheffler.
Oh,
my goodness.
As good as you can ask for.
It's not what the field wanted to see, is to see him at T1. Of course, there's plenty of great players behind him and tied with him. But the stat that really sticks out, he only missed one fairway today. That's an incredible driving display. And that's one thing that we really spoke about coming into the week, is that he was struggling off the tee a little bit at the beginning of the year, but has really steadily improved with that. And then he also putted very well today. Made a lot of putts, really key putts that propelled him to kind of get to that 300 number in the middle of the round.
This is, Smiley, the first time we've been live in a major championship, which is fun and for a number of reasons. One is we get to interact with some of the fan comments here, and there are a couple. Just as you said it, we had James4076 saying, Scotty's good start, it's bad news for the rest of the field.
Not great.
Agreed there, James. There's a question here that I think is very interesting in the context of the whole tree debate we had at the beginning of the week, because I think it's Ken Venicio 6035 asks, everyone thought the fairways were so wide and all we saw were players pointing and yelling for. Is the lack of definition the trees provide making it, you know, hard to find aiming targets?
I think it's more so when you have fairways that are let's say 16th hole, for example. I think that may be one of the more difficult tee shots of the day. It's a dog leg left par five that has bunkers situated on the left side of the hole. So you really would like to hit a draw, because first off, that first bounce is going to be to the right. But then when you go stand on that tee today, that wind was howling in and off the left. So you really got to turn something right to left. And we know how difficult that is to do with today's technology. So there were a lot of factors today that made driving the golf ball difficult to hold some of these fairways. You know, if you had crosswinds today and you got it going with the crosswind, these 40-yard fairways became 10-yard fairways very quickly.
Look, I don't want to invoke karma here either, but I think some interesting stats here from a couple guys that we talked about heading into the week as potentially being favorites. We had Rory, who shot a 4 over 74 today, looked pretty dejected at his post-round presser and gave a one-word answer. How's your round today? Expletive. he talked a lot about earlier this week, hey, if you can just bomb it anywhere off the tee, you should have a good chance to score. Well, he was 111th at strokes gained off the tee today, as one of the longer players in the field. So maybe their driving accuracy was pretty important. And you know, I realize there are other factors there. Wind coming into play, maybe he would hit a fairway, but, you know, runs out in the rough and makes it more difficult. But I don't think it was as straightforward to the points you've made thus far on the show as people portrayed it. Another player, Bryson DeChambeau, 6 over 76. 156 dead last in strokes gained around the green today, and 119th in strokes gained putting. And I think that underscores your point as well of if you're not, first of all, there are no easy two putts on these greens given all the slopes and spines and you know where these holes were placed. But if you're missing these greens, these up and downs are not a cakewalk. And if you're that bad, I mean, he's almost lucky to be six over being dead last in strokes gained around the green.
You know, that one surprised me a bit. I thought, if anything, you know, his approach play was going to be the issue this week, just with his lack of control at times. You know, when you look back at his last two PGA championships, you know, those are big boy ballparks, right? When you think of Quail Hollow and then Valhalla, where you're just hitting, you know, big, high, towering shots into greens. You're having to hit a lot of three-quarter shots, especially with holding winds and these greens that are falling off on every single side. So it maybe just isn't the best course setup for Bryson, but also, I don't know. It just didn't seem to make a very good adjustment. It's almost similar to how the Open Championship was always a huge struggle for Bryson. You know, this I wouldn't say that this was a Winxy type of golf course by any stretch of the imagination, but it seemed to have those kind of characteristics a bit, you know, outside of, you know, you did have the Scottish weather a bit
today.
But there was, you know, there were some big boy holes that had the modern architecture with the par threes, but there were some just holes that kind of reminded me of some Winx golf at times. But and we know Bryson has struggled at those events in the past. So I don't know. It's a bit surprising to see Bryson play so poorly.
We have some commenters who want to talk about a three-time PGA champion, Brooks Koepka, who at one under is tied for 15th, flushed it today, was fourth in strokes gained approach, but 138th in the strokes gained putting. And it's just so interesting with Brooks this year, where he started out the year as he makes his return to the PGA Tour with that blade putter we've seen him with, you know, for almost his entire career, I mean, really his entire career, and then switches into that mallet where he had some good weeks, some bad weeks, and obviously struggling to start here. But that's one of those things where if you can find a way to turn that around, if you can have a good putting day, I mean, he's right in the mix.
I think the green reading is really difficult out here because there's so many competing influences. When you have these rolling hills, and especially with all of these subtle ridges in the greens, you're getting a lot of different competing influences. And I saw so many players today kind of get confused. You know, Rory McIlroy, to start his round, was playing all this break on the 10th hole, but there's just this other ridge kind of holding it up. And it felt like that was one of the big storylines for me on the greens today were the ones that had, you know, the ridges coming from both sides and players trying to figure out, you know, what to play for. And then you factor wind in that. And then, you know, I think the stats will tell you that, you know, putts that players typically hole inside of 10 feet, I mean, you have to think percentage-wise, that has to be down, you know, a good 20 to 25% today just based off of what we saw and just not really seeing anybody separate and shoot a low score.
Smiley, let me ask you just a completely hypothetical question, all right? Let's say we're hanging out at home. You're like, hey, we're going to get some bagels, all right? I need you to be in the car at 7:18. And you know, let's say I'm heading downstairs and it's like 7:18 and 30 seconds. And I get in the car at that time. Was I on time? If my phone says 7:18, was I on time?
You're good with me. But you're not good on the first tee at Aronimink.
How about that from Gary Kigo?
It was an all-time presser at the end.
It was an all-time presser.
Because I think we all...
Should we play it out of my phone into here?
Yeah, you can get it pulled
okay,
up.
Right,
but I mean,
let's play it.
I think most of us have a general understanding of time. And the best
Okay, can we say this, though? Regular timekeeping is different from tee time timekeeping.
Sure, yeah. Right? I mean, all of us are used to logging on at 7 a.m. for our websites to try to book tee times. And it's to the second. So if you're used to booking tee times early in the morning, you're accustomed to that. But the best way I could kind of explain it, because my wife asked me about it, and she's like, what happened there? I was like, well, just think about this. How many times in high school would the bell ring and you were on the hallway, right?
Yeah.
And you're coming like down the hallway, but the teacher hasn't started talking yet. So class technically hasn't started, right? But you walk in and there's that grace period. And I think Gary Kigo, in his high school days, maybe was just a little late getting to class, but class hadn't started, so he felt like, you know, he wasn't getting a tardy slip.
Let's hear from Garrick. This is an exchange with Shane Ryan, who was equally perplexed. Let's just see if you can make sense of it.
So just to be 100% clear, when you walked to the tee, it was a surprise to you when they said two-stroke penalty, you're late?
No. It wasn't a surprise. I was late. I mean, my caddy was yelling at me to get to the tee, so...
Oh, okay. So by the time you got there, you already knew that it was...
I knew it was probably going to happen, yeah.
Yeah. You were with the PGA, it seemed like, for a bit just now. Were you trying to argue your case a little bit, or...?
I was just trying to get evidence. I mean, I feel like if any of you would have done the same, because it's kind of... I was there on time, but the rule is if you're 1 second late, you're late. So if you think about it, I was there on time, if you know what I mean. But
I don't quite... No. What is it? When you say that you were there on time, but late, what's...
Like, I was there at 7:18... 30 seconds.
Is that the all-time best follow?
No, I don't understand.
I don't understand.
By the way, like, we have had some... It's been a bizarre week for the press corps, but between that and Doug Ferguson asking Xander, do you like trees? And Xander's reply saying, yes, Doug.
I do like trees.
do you like trees, Doug?
So good.
It's
man.
Been an all-timer. Yeah, that was strange. I mean, I think it's one of those things that we just kind of laugh at.
He would be leading.
He'd be leading tied. He'd run 8 players tied for the lead. Stats would be even better for this thing.
It's one of those things that, of course, he's being interviewed after the round, and it's you probably should have had a plan of how to answer all that, because showing up and saying, well, you know, I was on time, but really, you know, I wasn't on time. Just a wild PR decision by the Higo camp.
Well, listen, it was a blast of a Thursday out there. I mean, I think that's about as good as we could have asked for. We were sitting there watching this afternoon. It's like, is this one of the better Thursdays we've had for a tournament? I mean, setting up for a great week. And by the way, just to let y'all know now, maybe we'll get some final thoughts from you, but like, we're going to be right back here in T-Mobile Club Magenta the next two nights, Friday and Saturday, and then also live streaming from a different location on Sunday. But we'll be right back here the next two nights. And now that we know that we can do this live, by the way, shout out Jackson Brown over there, our hardworking producer, who's been running all over the premises here at Aronimink to get the show on the air. So thoughts and prayers and praise for Jackson in the chat. But now that we know we can do it, we're going to tease this, show up here with us, get some questions in. This has been a lot of fun for us. What do you want to see tomorrow? What do you think you're going to see tomorrow? I mean, still wind.
It's still coming out of the same direction. And I think every time I was watching the broadcast today, there kept on being players that would pop up. And I was like, shoot, it was a Corey Connors week. Or oh no,
this,
it was
this is a classic Smiley Kaufman trademark.
It was a Patrick Reed week. How could we be so stupid?
P. Reed.
I just kept on having players like Alex Smalley. Of course, it was Alex Smalley this week. Now, what? How do we make the board? Like, how do we look at this board and dissect it? I think that's the best way for us to kind of close the day. Is who's still in the golf tournament? Well, a lot of people. I mean, there could be one of these seven guys who's tied for the lead that missed the cut tomorrow, yeah. Right? Because the cut potentially could be for the PGA Championship. It's T70 in ties.
It's 70 ties,
and not 65. Yeah. So technically, there's a huge, huge group. Actually, 92 players at two over. So you might see a massive cut this week. I expect it to be probably four over will be that cut is what it's really? Trending to be, but. As I look at this board and how to kind of figure out who's still in this.
Everybody?
I feel, gosh, I think the two overs. I mean, if you're six shots back of the lead, even at three over four, I mean, is Rory McIlroy out of this tournament at plus four?
That actually, can we talk just briefly about Rory there? Because I feel like part of the frustration today from Rory was not just that he played a bad round, but he realized
that he may have shot himself out of the tournament.
If you just get in the house at like one over – it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, you have to think somebody's going to figure it out tomorrow and shoot a number. But it definitely is a leaderboard that I'm super intrigued by. A Shane Lowry, Patrick Reed.
How about both of our picks at one under? John Rahm, Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are in a great spot. Jordan Spieth at one point had a share of the lead at three under. He got it to – I don't know if – he got it to three under par.
He did.
But I don't think he ever quite got it to four. Minwoo got it to four at one point. And then, shoot, Aldrich Pocketer, we might as well talk to the guy who posted three under first. He had gained five strokes gained putting today. So, I guess overall, just final takeaways, par threes were insane. Aronimink showed out. The fans, I've never heard noise quite like I heard noise through the television on the 14th hole today with Justin Rose and his hole out, and even before that with JT and his putt for bogey that he made. And I was just thinking, man, like so many fans would have left on a Thursday if it was cool. These Philly fans stayed here. They were loud and proud. They showed up, showed out, and it made for one of my favorite Thursdays that I've watched in a long time. And that's wild considering that nobody shot more than three under.
I don't want to add too much hyperbole to this, but I mean – I saw guys out there that were in shorts and polos that had their arms tucked aside their sleeves,
that
shivering.
That was me.
Just staying out there. They were just fighting through it. And the roar after the chip in for Justin Rose, I thought it was a
crowd
cool,
pop.
The crowd pop crowd today pop. Was good. Oh, and also shout out to our guy Ryo Hitsatsune. I saw the water in the mouth putting routine for the first time in person today. It's a sight to behold. So,
all right, any long shots you're taking that you're looking at this board right
so
now?
Are you, let's define long shot. Are you saying past two over to make a charge?
No, just somebody who could be a first time major champion that nobody's talking about.
Okay.
I think the guy who stands out to me is Ryo Hitsatsune. Just like you were talking about. I think,
let me get my guy Ryan Girard at one under. I think Girard. I'm gonna take Ryan.
Nobody's talking about Joaquin Niemann.
That would be a nice way for him to kind of write a narrative that you know people have. Or, dude, the return of Cam Smith would be a great storyline. This is what I love about this on Thursday. It's chock full storylines. Any of these could come good, and we have so much to talk about the rest of the week.
Gosh.
It's sick.
We're excited. We're excited.
Fired up. We're here in Club Magenta. We're fired up. Unfortunately, we have to go home. We have to get to sleep. We have to get back at it. But right here tomorrow. Here's how you can do this. All right, we're gonna put the tweet out or the Instagram post out with the link. Once the round's over, 8 p.m. Put on Golf Channel. Watch Smiley hit a shot on live from, and then you'll all know as soon as he hits his shot and he goes off, he's coming straight here to Club Magenta. Hop on YouTube. We're streaming right here. Take your questions. We'll do it all again here in Club Magenta tomorrow.
You got it.
See you there. To you then.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.